Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the LA Steel Show. I'm Lila.
And Leo. And tonight we have George Dixon joining us. And we're going to be talking about the sixth night of the Mayan calendar and possibly the fourth dimensional reality that we are venturing into. Yes, we are. And we are almost there. So George is right on the phone, so we'll put him right on.
Hello,
hey,
how you doing,
George? How are you?
I'm doing fine. How are you doing, Leo?
Very good. Very good.
Lila?
I'm fine too, George. How are you?
I have no complaints. It's a beautiful night here, that's for sure. Nice and clear outside.
Oh, that's good. Here too. We're lucky. Very nice.
Yeah.
That's great. Well, I tell you, I miss you folks. That there's so much that goes on, you know. I think of you often, but you know, it's great to touch base with you on Friday nights. That's for sure.
Yeah.
I know. We feel the same.
What have you folks been up to?
Well, we've both been very busy, all kinds of things, and just, you know, work. Work keeps you busy.
Yeah. Yeah, I just finished. I just got out my book, so the book should be getting ready to it should be out in late December.
We hope before Christmas.
Yeah, hoping for that date.
That'd be great, Leo.
Yeah, it's in production now, so it's just a matter of it's in full book design and so on and so forth. So anyway,
once you get the particulars on that, you're going to have to let the audience know. So that way I could pick up a book.
Well, I've been doing that the last four Thursday nights. I've been reading different chapters from the book. So it's Naked at the Mic. That's the name of the book, Naked at the Mic, The Survival of a Liberal in a Time of Peril. And Lila actually came up with that title. It was pretty good title, I thought. But we're hoping for... hoping for a late December release.
And a bestseller.
And a bestseller, yeah. Yeah, we're hoping for that, too. But anyway, I thought we'd talk about the... we might talk about the six-night Mayan calendar tonight and fourth-dimensional realities.
Ooh, that's scary, you know?
I don't know, George. The stuff I sent over to you today, I don't know if you got a chance to see it about the Ukrainian plague.
I didn't. Leo, I've been looking for it, and apparently I didn't get it, my friend.
You didn't get it?
No.
You know what? I sent it over under a different email. It was called a Steel Exclusive. It was Google Mail.
Yeah, well, I didn't get it.
But
I was looking forward to it because I think you've called my attention when you told me that.
Yeah.
And it's kind of scary, but it doesn't surprise me. But go ahead, talk about it.
Well, the reason I of course, it's one of the most censored stories in the world right now. You know, hundreds of thousands of people have come down with this black lung plague. It's called actually a black plague.
Well, how did you come across this? Is this something, is somebody emailed to you, or
did you
come across it?
No, actually, how I came across it was I was researching for a Tuesday night's show, the FM show, and came across it
in a
news blog that I go to quite often, a David Icke site, and then I InfoWars, Alex Jones.
Mm-hmm.
And Infowars.com. And then that referred me to about three or four other articles. Then I went to YouTube, and there's a number of Ukrainian reports and reports from Ukraine on this. And actually the odd thing is about it is it began with a chemical aerosol spraying of major Ukrainian cities back in October 31st and October 29th. And
like sort of like a chemtrail kind of thing.
Yeah, it was a low-flying chemtrail exposure to this stuff. And people immediately came down, within hours.
Were sick.
Got extremely sick. And within 48 hours, people were dying from it. And the actual stuff was actually turning their lungs into mush. It's called black lung.
Well, what was happening was that the internal body temperature went up as high as 135 degrees in some of these people.
That's right.
Cooked their internal organs.
Yep. And that was caused by these chemtrails, and they know that. Baxter Pharmaceutical in Ukraine was actually they're an American company, but they have a Ukrainian factory. They processed this stuff, made this stuff, and American pilots in Russian tankers were actually arrested from the Indian Air Force. They were flying back. It's a long story, but they found out that this was an organized biological weapons attack on the Ukraine by black ops, and they believe it's American forces.
Well, we don't see the Russians complaining.
No. But it was the American. No, nobody's complaining right now because they're scared shitless because they have there's a worldwide media blackout on this on the major media news outlets, but except in the Ukrainian news and some others, and they found that the plague has actually spread to Poland. Within the last few weeks, over 250,000 people came down with the same exact thing.
So 250,000 Poles, and how many people altogether, Leo, are affected by this?
Right now, over a million people, and there's also over 900,000 people in Norway have come down with this flu, all right, or with a flu, similar flu H1N1, they believe it is, but it's very deadly. Okay, it's a deadly virus. It's a mutated. Man-made mutated virus, all right, and they know this, and the facts are out there. The people, there's coverage on this, and a lot of news coverage now, but not mainstream news, but alternative news, and Ukrainian news, but even the European news market news outlets are silent on this, and the World Health Organization refused to quarantine the Ukraine, just like they refused to quarantine. Mexico when it came out there.
So, H1N1, not the same flu, but H1N1.
It's H1N1. It started there, all right, and then it spread out. But this one, this particular one that's in the Ukraine, is a man-made mutated virus of H1, combination of the swine flu and the Spanish flu viruses. And that was all manipulated and man-made. And then they used it and they sprayed this over the Ukraine, and there are thousands of witnesses that saw them doing it. Okay, saw the planes coming down, saw the stuff coming out of the air, and these people were immediately hundreds of thousands of people were affected by this. So. What I'm driving at.
It doesn't surprise me.
No, it doesn't surprise me. And this is part of the human population reduction, the global, as stated in the Global 2000 report, which we began in 76 under Jimmy Carter, and signed off by Reagan in 81. And this was a study sponsored by Henry Kissinger and Zbigniew Brzezinski, believe it or not. And they and advocating global population reduction by 2050, and in different increments and time increments. And by 2050, they expect to decimate two thirds of the world population. All right, through this kind of aerosol sprayings. Mass vaccinations of deadly viruses, also disguised as, and these were all things that were reported in this methods to reduce the population, signed off by two American presidents, sponsored by the United States.
Okay,
two thirds of the they 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 want less than 100 million people in this country by 2020. 2020, all right? So, you know, that's what's happening. And
Leo, I don't think it's because of that, you know, that this is happening right now. I think this pandemic was set in motion and not knowing really, you know, what it is that's going to be the risk to the people, the global people. You know, it's right now, anything and everybody can step up and cause this pandemic fear that's overtaken us. And this doesn't surprise me. Just releasing something like this as part of just the beginning.
Oh, I agree. I agree with you on that. But to do it in such a massive way, but I remember back in 19.
Well, whatever it is, it's being done in a massive way, and it's happening very quick, very quick.
Yeah. No, I remember in 2005. We were at a massive protest rally in D.C. September 24th and 25th. There was a major anti-war rally down there, and Layla and I attended it. We found out, and it was reported by the Washington Post and a number of other magazines and other things, that there was an act, and CDC announced a CDC actually announced, as the Center for Disease Control, announced that there was the biosensors in Washington, D.C., surrounding the mall area, which was where the protest was. They found all the biosensors in that area went off and recorded this tularemia bacteria, which is a stockpiled bioweapon in the U.S. arsenal. All right, we saw helicopters spraying stuff out of the helicopters. People noted it. Many people noted it, and I even caught some videotape of that. And they were spraying it on the crowds. There was over 300,000 protesters there. Okay?
All right, Leo, let's put it in practical understanding of what the hell is going on now. If what you're saying is true, that has been going on for a while, and this thing is happening. What scares me now is that, you know, a pandemic now is being created. Nowadays, it won't take long before this stuff is will get around to the rest of the world. And, you know, it's only a matter of time when these things are going to take effect.
It's already happening. It affected, it was sprayed in the Ukraine.
Nothing you could do about it now. It's just like these vaccinations.
Yeah,
you know, it's too late to do anything.
Well, it went from there to Poland, and it affected hundreds of thousands of people in Poland. Then it moved up to Norway. 900,000 people in Norway are infected with this.
Yeah.
Right? Now, this is a global pandemic caused by man-made aerosol spraying of this virus. Okay?
But is the one way it's being released? But you know, what is the casualty rate on this?
Oh, hundreds of thousands of people are dying from it.
But you said before that they were affected. But what you're saying now, hundreds of thousands of people are dying.
People were dying. They're dying. They're dying of black lungs. Their lungs and bodies are deteriorating. Their internal organs are not just failing. They're disintegrating. All right. This stuff is one major deadly virus.
All right. So what can we do about it?
Well, you got to alert the public. Number one, okay, realize that it's there. You got to realize that these government operations are everywhere, and that global population reduction is a reality.
All right. Well, that is secondary, Leo. There's nothing you can do about that now. But what else can you do about it?
No.
It's out there.
What?
What can you do about it?
Breathe the air and die. That's about it, no?
Well, no. Well, there's got to be some options to us or to this.
The only option, George, is that you expose this through the media, and then you go after the sons of bitches that are doing it. Okay?
No. Yeah, but listen to me, Leo.
What?
There's got to be an option to protect ourselves against this.
Wearing a face mask.
Well, possibly, or maybe just something that will change or give us resistance to whatever this ailment is.
that's not really too good. I mean, you're talking about a virus that was mutated with the or that was combined, an H1N1 that was combined with the 1918 flu pandemic virus as well. Okay. Ooh, that killed 50 million people. All right.
Yeah.
And I mean, you're dealing with this diabolical globalist one new world order concept here. These people that will go that are committed to Satanism, committed to the decimation of human population on the globe. They're committed to complete and utter takeover of world government. Okay?
Yes, but Leo, that's only a small group. The world is made up of other people besides them.
Yeah,
and there is, I think, with our technology, there is one way of combating it or even fighting against this thing, and that basically is through frequencies, through energies, by actually producing the same frequency that's created this ailment. What you can do is you can neutralize that.
Well, how are you going to do that, George?
How do
you
do that?
How to neutralize this viral plague?
Well, first of all, you got to identify it. Once you identify it, then half the battle is over with because you've exposed it for what it is. And
yeah,
what you can do.
Attacked it within 48 hours, your internal organs turn disintegrate.
Uh-huh.
That's
well,
what's happening to these people. It's absolutely horrendous, and I mean it's a horror. You know, a man-made attack on the major cities in the Ukraine. Okay, and now this aerosol virus is spread throughout Eastern Europe. Now, why that's happening? What spawned this, or who made that decision to do it? All right, is not being held responsible.
Well, at this point, that's secondary. There's nothing you could do about it. Well, what is the purpose for this happening to us?
What is it? Well, I just told you it's a global population reduction program sponsored by the globalist bastards. All right, and the banking elite. These are the guys. I mean, we're looking at less than maybe 100 people, 100 people, George, in the entire damn world who govern, who rule everybody else. All right. And we're talking about people that, I mean, the actual organization is set up where these people rule. This is the Illuminati, George. This is the Masons, believe it or not. The Freemasons in this
okay.
thing right up to the hilt. They are the Illuminati. And if you look at what they've done, and you look at the diabolical history of this organization, okay, and what they've done and how they've created the international, you know, piracy. All right, this is what we're dealing with. And until people recognize this, and when they start to recognize
it, and once they recognize it, what can they do then? What are you suggesting they do, Leo?
What do they do? You go, you organize enough people, you organize millions of people, go in and just take over.
But Leo, what would you do after you took over? I mean, what would be your purpose of taking them over?
Take them over, kill them, do something with them, you know, mutate them. You know,
now, Leo, that's what you got to do is
get this program of population reduction off the planet,
people,
all right?
Leo.
And unless you do that, all right, yeah, I mean, you can sit back and laugh all you want. Yeah, this is a wonderful, wonderful life, you know. And then overnight, these goddamn bastards will aerosol spray. I mean, we get chemtrailed every day around here. All right, chemtrails like crazy. We've had less than half the sunlight of last year this year. Okay?
Yeah, but Leo, what can you do about it? I mean, you identify these things, but what can you do about it, really?
Thing that I can do.
Let
the
public know so that they can put pressure on the government to stop.
Okay.
We have been talking about this every single week
for
the last five or six years.
There's so many people, George, who don't seem to realize that our sky has changed. They never look up. They're always looking at their feet. They don't realize that the sky is now a milky color blue. It's very rarely a true blue color.
No, they don't see
They don't notice what's happening in front of their face.
Yeah, but Lila, I understand what you're saying, but what I'm saying, who do you look for to do something about that?
Well, what I'm hoping, George, is that when people look up and see and recognize what's done to them without their knowledge, and it's right in front of their face, can they imagine and take that mental leap about the things that are done that they can't see?
Right. I mean, if you're seeing three or four planes, flying over you, leaving huge streaks in the sky, crisscrossing, and totally modifying the atmosphere, okay, and this stuff falling down, okay, barium salts, aluminum oxide, pathogens, blood pathogens,
bacteria,
viruses, all these things that are in these chemtrails. They've done studies, that independent reports have done field studies and ground studies on this stuff, of the fallen crap that's coming out of the plane.
So you think it's worthwhile to eat organic? I think again.
Yeah.
You're getting all this on top of your food. It's going into the soil. It's going into the water. And we don't know. This is a worldwide operation. It doesn't matter whether you live in China or Russia or India or Belarus, you're getting the same thing. This is cooperation.
Well, I agree with you. There's worldwide pressures, and even the Illuminati, there are people in the world who really control people. And we are controllers, no doubt about it. But I got to go back to really who we are. I really feel that we are holding this reality together. And even this play that we're involved with, there are alternatives. And there are alternatives, to what's happening to us. Or we have energies and also an evolution in our genes that would compensate for anything the outside world can throw at us. We aren't in control of this three-dimensional reality. Nobody else is. And it's we who turn it on and off. And part of this is part of the experience that we're experiencing right now. This is the final close, I think, of experiencing three-dimensional reality, on this earth plane. And that's part of the closeout that the Mayans are talking about.
Well, I think that's true, and I think it's true, and we're going to start seeing the demise of a world population here through artificial means, and that's quite frightening. I mean, that is what's going on, and I think that a lot of this, I think you said this, but a lot of this is being done to create great fear, panic, pandemic. And chaos around the world.
People don't know what's happening, so it's not creating fear.
Well, they don't know what's happening yet, but a lot of people do. It's getting out there and starting to get out there. And thank God for things like YouTube and the internet, because the mainstream media refuses to cover this. All right, the World Health Organization refuses to admit it. And the only people that are admitting it are the Ukrainian government, okay, even though they said there was a problem, now they're playing it down. But, hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people, Ukrainian people, have suffered, and many have died from this, and it's still going on.
Well, what caught my attention, Leo, when you first told me about that, it was that a while ago we were reviewing that book from Peter Moon. The Sphinx, the Sunrise.
That's right. I read that. It was and he talks in depth about the Masonic plans and the Illuminati.
Well, I don't think it's the Masonic plans per se. That the Masonic orders were very interested in what was going on there, and to refresh everybody, it was one of those places on Earth that ancient records were placed to come out into the future in a certain future, just like the Sphinx. Edgar Cayce talks about there was a hall of records underneath the Sphinx, what basically is part of the link-up, to humans evolving, in this evolution.
No, that's true, but at the same time, a good part of that book was about Signor Massini.
Yes.
Okay, who was a major Illuminati player, was the approached this individual and tried to convince him to become a one of them, all right,
mm-hmm.
and offering him everything under the sun and explaining how the Illuminati works and how the Masonic influences are, and how they control the entire political processes around the world, and
mm-hmm.
and you know that in itself was revealing to with his confession, but at the same time these diabolical bastards, I mean they have millions and millions of people working with them, George, you know, to act out these crimes against humanity and to maintain their global domination
right
over them. So it's like, you know, and he said, and in this book, I mean, people will sell their souls for a dollar and a half, you know,
right?
You know, for a loaf of bread, if they're starving. And so it's like, you know, it's easy. He said it's extremely easy to buy these people, you know, and yeah, it's a satanic order. It's a satanic organization, and they worship Satan, right? And that's the 33 degree Mason and above. So I mean, we're under this satanic influence. We're under this diabolical influence, if you will. And I mean, people like myself and people like yourself and others who see it and understand it. Yes, I feel an important part of what I am and what I'm doing is to talk about it, to mention it, to bring these things out to people. I mean, God only knows. I mean, you know, maybe we'll get 20 listeners tonight. But you know what? I'm really pleased. I'm really pleased that we've hit the 40,000 mark. You know, tonight actually we hit the 40,000 listener mark.
Well, that's great. That's great
for this internet. That's a lot of people. You know, so that's a lot of listeners, and we're pleased. But it's a handful next to people that should hear it. You know.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, there's not many places around that are talking about it. There are millions, maybe a million people, maybe 2 million people know. But I mean, of the 200, the 7 billion people out there who are being indoctrinated and subjected to these lies and deceit and the mass media manipulation. Just move along with it. Don't even know about it.
Well, I think it will catch up. It will catch up, along the way or whatever. But, right now we're going into the sixth night.
Yep.
And I don't know what the hell to expect. I really don't.
Well, I think this is part of it. I think that from the sixth night, everything. Everything comes to a close. Everything comes to a collapse, and whether it be man-made or nature, I think we're going to be looking at a serious collapse.
Maybe a polar shift.
Well, it's the final collapse, if you'd want to call it that. But the collapse has been working, and that's part of the sixth day has brought that. What is meaningful, but now is actually when it's the transition period that we're going through.
Right.
But it also includes, though, fourth dimensional realms of the imagination. So, you know, on a personal note, you know, I don't know what to expect or how to focus at this point. But
well,
I go back to, you know, understanding, let's say, with the Bible code,
mm-hmm.
that the Bible basically is the record of mankind. That when they first came to this earth, up until the 28th century, when they left. So I don't know. I think what I feel in the way I've been thinking is that I'm just going to let that part of myself re-experience reality in this mode or whatever mode that we're in right now. It's like I've gone through this before, and it's part of the record of the Bible code. And whatever happens, happens, and it will show itself at the end. So, you know, it's maybe being fast and secure in my intent.
Yeah,
in
but
life.
The Bible code, I've read it. It's more of a Scrabble game than it is a code. I mean, a guy piecing together these. You know,
I don't think so, Leo. I don't feel that way. No.
No.
I don't know.
It seemed too.
Pat.
Yeah, it seemed too pat of too easy. You know,
mm-hmm.
Like PC. Oh, here's Hitler, and here's it's like a cross.
So what's wrong with that? What's wrong with it being easy?
It George. I don't know, but you know.
Didn't have the ring of authenticity.
It had a funny smell to it, as far as I was concerned. I read it. I looked at it. I thought, oh, that's interesting, but
uh-huh.
this doesn't pass the smell test to me. And
whatever. Yeah. Okay.
It just didn't, and it was too contrite, you know, it looked more like a crossword game, you know.
Uh-huh.
Piecing the letters together and the names together and different whatever configuration. But I mean you can do that with you can probably do that with a phone book, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like I just didn't work for me. But the other prophecies what bothered me though recently was that this I don't know if you had sent it to me or not or somebody on the Mayan calendar. And it was a 3 or 4 minute thing by a Mayan shaman, and he was talking about the Mayan calendar, but he was talking about there's nothing to worry about. This is a wonderful world. It's blah 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 blah. Now I don't know what the hell he was doing, but he was climbing up one of the Mayan temples and. Walking around, he says, it could be tomorrow, it could be on the December 12th, but he says it could be the 20th, 2020, it could be 2015, and we don't really know, all right? But at the end, he big toothless smile, and he says, don't worry, be happy, it's not going to be a big problem, the world's not going to end, you know? And like, I don't know who the hell they got as an actor for that one, but that's the kind of, you know, thing that you're seeing now. And now with the big with this huge 2012 movie that came out, it's a blockbuster. It's so,
oh, and that's frightening, kid.
And it's frightening.
Yeah,
kid.
But see, that's not that has nothing to do with the Mayan prophecy of the end times.
But what it is, what I'm saying is it's starting to create this Mayan fear. This end of
the
world fear.
Thought.
It corrupts the process.
I've already
right.
had kids ask me if the world is going to end in 2012.
Right. Uh-huh. So it's like
and what's going to happen? And they were scared.
Yeah, they were, and it scares a lot of people. And you have to say no, it's not. It may or may, what are you going to say? No, it's not going to end. It may not end, but at the same time, you're seeing so much false information coming out about it now, whether it's for marketing purposes or whether it's designed to create more chaos, more confusion, so that it'd be easier to control the population. But there's definitely a population controlling movement out there, okay, being pushed faster and faster and faster upon us, and by the power.
Yes, but I don't think anybody has control over that, Leo. I really don't, and
oh,
I think right now we're in a free fall. And, you know, I've talked before about what we need is some kind of an intervention to break us out of our stupidity, I think, you know, and just dealing with war and so forth. You know, this Afghan war and this Iraqi war, it's meaningful. You know, it's not meaningful. There's nothing to it.
Meaningless.
Meaningless, yes. What we have to do is break out of this. We need an intervention. And, you know, in starting this fifth or sixth night is equal to 1972. So in following the calendar now, you know, we're at 1972 level. and the things that happened in 1972, basically, the cycle is a cycle that's returned right now.
But again, there in we got out of the Vietnam War in 74, I believe.
That's right, 74, right.
So I mean, it looks like it may be another year or 2 years before we even consider getting out of these wars.
Yes, but
way,
Leo, that's only 3 months away.
Yeah.
In normal time.
Well, that's not going to happen. I don't see anything remotely in the works to withdraw troops in 3 months' time.
Well, maybe something could happen, Leo, and that could happen.
Well, maybe. Listen, I just wanted to say there's a caller on the line, 111. Did you want to join the conversation? Your mic is open, if you would. Hello?
Hey, guys. It's Stephen O'Ryan from Paranormal 101. I'm just listening in.
Hello, Stephen. Welcome.
Hey, guys.
Hey. Did you want to join us, or you want to say anything?
If I find something that's along my lines, I'll definitely chime in, but I'll just mute myself for now because my computer isn't working.
There you go. Okay. Welcome.
Okay. So anyway, what was I going to say? Oh yeah, well, the key to this that I see is that is if we go back to what Lungold said about the sixth night or the fifth the sixth day sixth night period. What he stated was that this would be a period of mass insanity, basically. Everybody would be losing their minds right about now, right? And
it could be, yes. Mm-hmm.
You know, and you're seeing this mass global chaos developing, psychosis, neurosis, psychotic things going on where people are mass murdering other people, and you know, and now you're seeing this madness of global reduction. I mean, that Ukrainian plague is just the tip of the iceberg at this point. I mean, they've been trying to decimate the African population for decades.
Well, Leo, let's go back now in history now, because when this was done before, understanding that we're just coming out of a new renaissance, because that's what the sixth day gave us. It was a renaissance for the new age. So that's what we've experienced. But now we're going into that period where we're putting that new renaissance into play. So, you know, from that, like the renaissance of the early renaissance, you have the Reformation of the churches and so forth, and that was a major power at that time, including the papal stance, you know, with the powers that be. So right now, we are in an influx here of changes. And in 1972, there was also an unusual event that happened here in our solar system, and that deals with our sun, where there was a massive explosion that should have killed us.
Right. Well, wasn't it Melchizedek that said that I think it was he that said there was some kind of an alien intervention on that one, and we created some kind of a.
Yes, that was with the ramifications of what happened then.
Yeah.
That there was outside intervention. It was part of the Syrians that were able to hook in and save us from that calamity.
Right. And I mean, I guess what bothers me, George, is the disconnect between what we talk about and what we seem to understand, and the overwhelming denial and mass ignorance of these things in the world, and it just I mean, we see it. I mean, it's kind of a curse in a way, because I see this. Because of the research that I do every week for these shows, and of course just my own personal research in areas, I find that for instance, coming up with this Ukrainian pandemic, it is absolutely mind-boggling. Okay, that anybody could be so diabolical, that the plans could be so diabolical as to wipe out an entire nation, which is basically what they're doing. all right, with by spraying this mutated black plague virus.
Yeah,
right?
Well, apparently somebody did it, and they did it, so, you know.
But what I'm saying is the diabolical aspect of this, the horror, evil, black,
oh, well,
nasty piece of human, of a dung. I mean, I can't even imagine how dark the souls of these people are.
Well, they're dark, but, you know, get on with it, Leo. Forget about it. There's nothing you can do about it now anyways.
Yeah, but if you have to deal with this dark adversary, then you have to understand, I mean, you have to be aware that they exist in a very, very powerful...
Well, all right. Once you realize that they exist, what do you do then?
Well, then you're
what you...
They do exist, and you don't go like a baby to the slaughter, you know?
No, well...
No, you take precaution, knowing full well that these things are existing. You understand that this H1N1 vaccine is nothing more than an implant of that virus, a live virus into your system.
Yeah,
right?
But see, Leo, people can find that
these vaccines are nothing more than cancer delivering agents. You know, then proof has proven time and again. I've got tons of research on this, that all these vaccines that we've been getting since the polio vaccine is what causes cancers. All right, it causes cancer.
Yes,
and,
but Leo, people are able to pick that up intuitively. They don't have to be told that they're being infected, you know, by an outside source.
Are you serious, George? Come on.
No, I am serious. I am serious.
You got people running to these clinics to say, vaccinate my little kid.
I know.
You know, come on, George, intuitive. These guys.
Well, what can you do, Leo?
Not,
because they're going to have
these people have no intuition. These people have, they're nothing. I mean, they're like animals being herded to slaughter. You know, I think animals have more intuition than some human beings.
All right, Leo, let's don't get carried away here. Let's look at alternatives. Let's say, you know, what you're saying is right, and, you know, I don't disagree with you, but what can you do about it other than what you got to do is you got to set yourself up for some kind of a protection against this. And I'm saying we have abilities inside of us now that I'm sure can compensate for anything that is created outside of us.
Okay.
And part of the times now are telling us that we have the ability to do that. And it's just dealing with the genes and the chromosomes that we have. We have everything we need to survive in those genes, and it's a matter of activating them or deactivating what we need and what we don't need.
So tell us how we access this ability to ward off these foreign chemicals that could hurt us.
Because what you do is you tell your body to ward yourself off, you know, with whatever you need to defend yourself against this.
As simple as that.
As simple as that.
Well, I don't know. It's not working for me because I've had this cold.
Yeah, well, maybe if you believed it and so forth, understand that we have the genes inside of our DNA.
Mm-hmm.
And we have genes that all they have to do is be activated. We have the genes for, let's say, hibernation.
Right.
But that doesn't mean that we have to use them. It's activating it. And, you know, it's activating our biological body to defend ourselves from the outside influence of whatever environment we're in. And understand that this is part of the ongoing process that the body does with or without your permission, because its duty is to survive, and it will survive. And if it has to adapt to different type foods for its survival, the body will do that without having to go through, you to make sure that everything is okay. Now, what I was referring to, back in 1972,
mm-hmm.
there was an influx within our solar system that it did affect us. And this was recorded by our science people. David Suzuki, I believe, got a Nobel Prize for this, for his work, and he was the one who led a team who actually followed the events that were going on the sun before 1972, and after 1972. Now, the gist of what happened is that our sun ignited, and some believe it was the helium that is a byproduct of hydrogen when it burns off, that it actually ignited, and there was a different energy coming from the sun. And this was a normal evolutionary cycle suns go through. But normally when this does happen, that the sun itself would expand, and it would expand beyond, let's say, Mars to Jupiter. And then over a period of time, it will collapse again to its normal size that it is now. But apparently this was something that was predicted by David Suzuki and his team that was going to happen. But up to a time before that, and I believe there was people from all over the world who were brought in to deal with this devastation that they knew was coming.
Well, how did they explain away this the fact that it didn't happen?
They didn't. And nothing came from that. But on the other side of the story was part of understanding what the Syrians did, because the Syrians, they're part of our direct ancestry, let's say Homo sapiens, on this on the Earth.
Mm-hmm.
And if nothing, they were partly responsible for the DNA and part of our DNA and the heritage that we have. And they were able to build a field, an energy field around the Earth, where it actually contained the Earth and shielded it from this explosion that took place, and create an artificial reality or experience.
Mm-hmm.
And part of that experience was the experience that we experienced, and that basically was one option, and the only option there was to protect us from this thing that was going to happen. But
so is that area still there?
Excuse me?
Is that barrier still there?
Well, as far as I know, they were able to, I think, suppress and bring it back down to a normal local level. But it was something that was done, some type of intervention, and that was 1972. And we are going into now the repeating of that cycle. And understand that it was the Renaissance period before this that puts us in our frame of mind right now, where we are and what we have to work with. And what I was saying before of the diseases and so forth, we have the ability to duplicate frequencies, and everything is light. Everything is light and sound. And by using that sound, we can actually transverse time and transverse physical matter, forwards and backwards.
Okay. I don't see or understand why. Well, right now we're not going through a global period of warming. We're going through actually a global cooling.
Climate change. We always
through,
do.
Yeah.
It's
that's
what
right.
the Earth
yes.
goes through. It's
mm-hmm.
just that people who want to make money out of something try to make it something that it's not. That's all. They've hijacked climate and made people afraid.
Yeah, well, Al Gore, you know, it is.
Mm-hmm.
It is.
They call it capitalism, don't they? Or fascism, I don't know, which was worse.
they basically hijacked the idea that climate is a problem. Climate is something that happens all the time, and it's just an average.
Mm.
You know, sometimes it's cooler, sometimes it's warmer. And
it's just another way to make money.
That's right. That's all that
is.
And to create fear and control the population.
I was watching a program last night where they were talking about they were showing these people up in Greenland and in the laboratory up there where they were drilling for ice records, and scientists, you know.
Yes.
Going down a mile or more.
Going back, and they could go back thousands and thousands
yeah,
of years.
Yeah, they went back 13,000 years, which was really interesting, or even further. But they found that there was one period in the Earth's cycle, in the Earth history, where within a matter of 2 years, the Earth temperature increased by 20%. I'm sorry, by 20 degrees.
Hmm.
And that was, you know, maybe, I don't know, 500,000 years ago or so,
yeah,
on that. And but they also found that 13,000 years ago, there was a major swing as well. And that coincides right with this time period, because where there was a, they said that there was a major change in the in the Earth temperature at that point, and it really hasn't risen significantly since then. It actually went down, but there was that period, and that was 13,000 years ago. Now, and 13,000 years is about the time period of the polar shift, and it's also the time between that the Mayans called, if you will, the planetary period change. You know, the changing of the times. Every 13,000 years, the Earth changes into another system. Or into another, another system, another like Pisces, you know, going from Aquarius to Pisces type of thing, you know, but they're it's changing into another star.
The equinox that we travel through.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. That's every 13,000 years,
right.
And that's what we're due now. In 2012 ends the period of the 13,000 year
cycle,
and we are shifting into another planet at time. They say that
right, but that is coming out of the closed cycle that we've been experiencing.
Right,
and now we're going into another dimension.
Yeah.
Well, now we've shifted back into the unity consciousness mode, where now instead of going outside of ourselves for information, inside for information, it's just receiving it from the outside. So, you know, it's no longer a struggle to find out who we are, where we're going, and so forth. It's a matter of just taking what we have and going forward and expanding on that.
And we're moving to the next level. That's all.
Well, yeah, you know, a part of understanding the messianic views is becoming God yourself and actually creating your own world. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with that, but understanding there are other worlds that can be built besides physical worlds, and that's in the higher realms where, you know, even galaxies can be built. But,
yeah,
you know, it's just the conscious level of how it expands, and heaven knows how high it goes, but I have enough expansion in my own head, I think, to keep me satisfied for many lifetimes. But I do believe that this is the last life, I think, for me, and in a near future or past, let's say, for the last 15,000 years, where I really believe that any karma or reincarnation, any karma that I have, is being dissipated or relived in this life. Because I'm not carrying anything over for the next one, that's for sure.
So what makes you think this one is the last one for you?
Well, I don't know. It's been my feeling, and that feeling has been with me for 45 years now, and it's like something I know, and it's not worrying about it other than it's just closing out a lot of things. And, you know, just verifying other things, other suspicions that I had, and experiencing and seeing those suspicions for what they are. And, you know, I don't have any regrets in this life. I really don't. Things could have been different, but what keeps me going, I think, is the synchronicity in the flow of every day, and how the options that I have every day are expanding, you know, upon themselves. And it's mind-boggling. It really is. But I'm too busy enjoying myself instead of trying to figure it out. And that may be part of the experiences sixth night has given me, because I'm able to not only experience it physically, but also I have to conjure it up in my own head and put it into motion. And there's no problems in doing that in a sense, but it's just experiencing for what it is.
There's a lady, I'm just responding to...
he's in the chat room.
West Coast Para states that there are more UFO sightings recently as well, I guess. Is that the case? Have you found that to be true, George? Have you heard of more, is there more sightings in the last year or so than there have been in the last...
Well, there's more sightings because people have opened up to experience them or believe in them. And, you know, once you convince yourself that, yeah, maybe they do exist, then you'll experience more and more of the phenomena, or you experience more options regarding, you know, that phenomena, and that's what you'll experience. And, you know, I do believe that... there is a stepped-up UFO presence, if you'd want to call it that. And I don't know who's creating the hype or how the hype is being created. You know, things could be changing very quickly in the next couple of months. And it wouldn't surprise me if there's any great announcements that come out. I mean, there was talk this week about the Vatican coming clean, about acknowledging, you know, they do follow it, and they have been following it for years. You know, it could be just a big buildup, you know, for the announcement that the aliens are real. And I've talked about these before. I think what's going on right now is a lot of people are jockeying for position. And I could see it with Stanton Friedman and the rest of the crew there. Whitney Schreiber's another one. But, you know, right now they're just jockeying for position. But I think next spring is when we're going to see the real gist of this alien connection with our outside world. And some say that, you know, we are out of a period of isolation. And it wouldn't surprise me if, you know, more of this comes out of cultures that are living on this planet along with us, and the inner Earth and the outer Earth.
I'm kind of looking forward to some. I have to say I've never really had a UFO sighting and seen any a UFO. I mean, firsthand, I've seen them on film. I've seen them, you know, talked about, but I've never seen a an actual flying saucer.
But would it matter?
It would be to me. It would be exciting to see that.
It'd be exciting, but would it verify that they exist or not exist? Would you have to have some kind of verification for you in order for you to progress? You know, your thoughts on.
I would like to physically see it happen. West Coast Pirate just said, I believe sightings are becoming less. It is possible we are moving farther away and or a lapse of what you say travel. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know if sightings are... last couple of years I've heard there were a lot more sightings than there has been this year.
Mm-hmm.
That have been reported sightings. I don't know if that's... you know, correct or not, but it seems to me in 2007, 2008, there were a tremendous number of reports of UFO sightings in Brazil and even that one at the airport in Chicago Airport, O'Hara Airport, I believe.
Yeah.
That there were a lot of people witnessed, but that is, that's not happening right now, or at least it's not being reported as much.
Well, yes and no, Leo. Well, understand that the energy fields that we have around us, the energy around us is creating a change in our neo-thinking networks, if you'd want to call it that, because what's happening is that you have other dimensions of reality clicking in and out of view along with your normal vision. And what's happening is that you are hooking in, or it's like a radio. You're tuning in now to higher frequencies, and it's not you that's doing it. It's the energies that are outside, and it's your body actually trying to correlate or calibrate, you know, with the energy around you.
Yeah.
Now, you know, that may sound kind of technical, but understand that, you know, the energy fields around us affect us physically and mentally, and we are actually vibrating in different frequencies now, and being able to control, you know, the frequencies around us.
Yeah, I hear you, George. I don't know. I did want to announce that our stream just ended, so we're not.
Oh well.
But you know, people are still in the chat room, and people are welcome to call in. I believe 111 is still on the line. Did you want to join us? Oops. Let's see, it's unmuted. Did you want to join us, 111, or do you have anything else to say?
It was Steve, right?
Yeah. Yes. I'm just enjoying the show, and one thing I wanted to say, this Friday night is the greatest night of Blog Talk. Along with, you know, just the two different perspectives, you get the two different sides of the coin here. And I love what Leo has to say, and I love what you have to say, George. And what I want to say about that on the vaccination thing, you guys are both right, because, you know, I love the information you're spreading about the vaccinations, Leo. But then there's the other side of the coin, which is the metaphysical, just, you know, in and out of your matrix or your own reality, because as we all know, we create our own realities. So I definitely get both perspectives, and it's a beautiful thing, because the listeners get to hear the two sides of the coin rather than just one.
Well, thank you, Steve.
anytime, guys. And about the UFO thing, I'm pretty sure George knows. I've seen a lot of UFOs in my time. Mm-hmm. And it seems like within the last 7 years, I see maybe up to 10 to 12 UFOs per day.
Really?
And it might be, yeah. It might be because I'm a sky watcher, and I love to be outdoors and one with nature. And I'm always sky watching, and I'll see up to 12 a day, sometimes less, but 12 is probably the max I see. And as you guys were speaking, I was watching two flying over my head, and they are just getting more detailed with their maneuvers. And 3 days ago, me and my lady was watching two fly over us, and they were almost in sync, flying in sync, and they must have been about 500 feet away from each other. But as the first one started slowing down, it totally stopped, and the second one preceded it and kept going. But it seemed like they were in sync with each other at one point. They were like flying, you know, like two jets would fly. But these are like, they look like the distance of the stars, basically. So they're definitely not planes. I know what planes look like. There's no blink on these things. And I just think it's becoming more prevalent, as Leo was saying. But there is a story. Oh, go ahead.
You know, it's like, Steve, the first time you smell a certain smell, let's say cinnamon, okay? Now,
yes.
From that point on, you'll have a clear, a keen understanding of what citizen smells like,
yes,
and the environment around it. All right, now, so understand that once you've experience cinnamon, you know, you can't go back beforehand. So understand that once you're able to click into that higher dimensional insight, let's say your intuition of hooking into extraterrestrials, you would automatically smell that cinnamon or be in that understanding or that dimension of UFOs. So you'd be seeing more of it instead of it being something unique. It's part of the experience that you're experiencing because you're on that level of reality. But on that level is part of your connection with whatever you're experiencing. But understand that once you've experienced a UFO or smelled that cinnamon, you're always going to. And I found that in dealing with families who have had experiences with UFOs, it's like once one member of the family experiences it, they all experience it in the same fashion, in a sense, even though they could be separated. But it's that mindset that they have, that once they've cooked into that or smelled that cinnamon, you know, they all smell the cinnamon together.
Mm. Yes. Yes.
So I'm just saying with you, it's not something that's new each time. It's new because you're experiencing other parts of that dimension, of that reality that you've hooked into.
So did I make myself prone to this?
Well, whatever you did, and it's over with. There's nothing you can do about it now. I mean, you've been exposed to it.
Everything you just said, George, is 100% right, because now my family is able to see these things.
There you go. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. But it's really just lifting the veil of a veil that's been put over you. It's just the way you're programming, how you've been taught.
Yes.
What you've been taught, you know, how you think about things.
Yes, I've always been very naturally spiritual and into metaphysics, and metaphysics is what really makes me wake up in the morning. So it's like I believe that maybe what has made me prone to seeing these extraterrestrial things flying across the skies, of course.
Well, understand that psychic understanding is part of your emotional body. I mean, you've been raised to think mentally. But if you want to go to that psychic view, you go to your emotional view, which is your heart. So, you know, it's something that you have an intuitive feeling on every thought that you have through your emotional experience of what you get from it. So I'm just saying that now using your intuition or your emotions is just as good as using your logical in thinking, but it's a lot faster because with your emotions, you can go to the feelings right away instead of have to go through a routine of believing this way or driving that way or doing a certain ritual, because that is part of this mindset that we're into. Instead of having to experience something, you know, you have to pay for it. And a part of that is certitude to, you know, in our thinking. And part of that is part of that blood battle that's been going on now and releasing us, you know, to our full potential. And that's what we're experiencing now with this change in 2012.
You describe what they look like, Steve, to me.
Okay. I can give a decent description since I actually capture these on my camcorder. And I'm able to literally zoom in on them where I can fill up the whole viewfinder on the camcorder, which is pretty much a 3x3-inch viewfinder. And I can almost get as close to make it look like I'm zooming in on the moon. And from what I've seen on the clearest footage I've seen, it definitely looks like a plasmic light. So some of them you can actually see like little things moving in this orb. But the one confirmation I wanted to give the people from my footage and my sightings, I've seen maybe over 1,000 of them. And from what I've captured, it seems like these are plasmic orbs, or I've also did a lot of research in the ether. And I also think they're ether, because ether is a living energy. So this is obviously a living energy since it's traveling and doing wild maneuvers. And I want to give one confirmation to the people. I do not believe that these are physical, metallic, or metal ships.
You know, Dave, Steve, what you could do is ask him where he got his driver's license.
Yes, I've actually... Are you talking about trying to channel to them?
Well, sure. Don't try to channel. Channel with them. I mean, if you're looking at them through a viewfinder, understand that whatever you're viewing and whatever is inside of it, you have direct connection with them because you focused into them. You're looking at them. Understand that you are connected with that.
And George, I think Leo hit on something there. I mean, let's flip the names there around. I think you hit on something there, George, because it has to do with the believer effect, right? You have to really be a believer of these things.
Sure.
Tell me,
sure.
Have you seen, since you look at the sky quite often and you're videotaping, what kind of chemtrail activity do you see?
We could say a plaid shirt draping the sky sometimes.
Yeah, that's what it's
like. And it's that ridiculous, Leo. It seems like they are creating runways in the heavens for some ships or something, because it seems like, you know, you'll get like two perfect trails that just expand the whole sky. Or sometimes you'll just see crossing of these chemtrails. And it worries me because I'm outside a lot. But to get back to the metaphysical side, which George always gets on, you know, I have a feeling that this chemical cannot intervene in the life of a more spiritual being, I believe, or somebody who has reached a certain point of enlightenment. And especially when it comes to the whole starseed phenomenon, which I believe I am part of, because I am sort of young. I am only 30. I'm 31. And the starseed phenomenon goes back to the 70s, of course, and the children of the 70s. So I would guess I would be a part of that, and I guess that's what has made me sensitive to these things. But I feel I'm blessed, and sometimes I feel I'm not blessed, because I don't know if it's a curse or it's a blessing right now.
I hear you. It's really that way. You wonder if it's more of a curse by being able to see this and knowing what's happening out there, and not being able to explain it.
Or share it while still feeling comfortable about sharing it, because I definitely want to share the footage with people, but knowing how the powers of be work, that's where it gets scary.
Well, you put it on YouTube, a tremendous number of chemtrail videos there, but you know, I highly recommend that you.
No, I'm referring to mainly the UFOs.
The UFOs, okay.
Yeah, the UFO footage.
Well, Steve, you mentioned good or bad. It doesn't matter, because they're both an expression of the same thing. You can't have one without the other. You can't have
definitely
any good aliens.
Exactly.
You know,
oh, yeah.
That does, because they're bad, they don't agree with you, doesn't mean that you know, they're wrong. They serve a purpose, and
it's not really the public's perspective, George. It's more, you know, what I'm afraid of, what the government might do to me if they find some validity behind the footage.
You know, Steve, I don't think they even have control over this. And, you know, I think the evidence of that is it's only a matter of time where they do release this information, because other governments of the world are doing it, including Britain, France, South America, Brazil, you know.
Yes.
So, you know, it's only a matter of time now. So,
I think your films, if they depict what you're saying and really can make it out, would be a welcomed addition.
It's our time to meet our galactic neighbors anyway.
It is. It's supposed to happen now, this period, this sixth night, when our galactic neighbors are revealed to us. So,
right.
Steve, it looks like you may have some
I think you're ahead of the curve there, Steve.
I think so.
Thanks.
There you go, Steve.
Yeah, you see, on that note, I just love exposing the metaphysics and the spirituality behind what I'm viewing, rather than just going out there and blurting out, you know, I have UFO footage. I'm just here to sort of bring validity behind the footage rather than the footage itself, because I believe more in the etheric or the ethereal side of this matter, rather than, you know, the general aspects that people read in MUFON and stuff like that.
Right.
Yeah.
Who gives the humans permission for everything that happens on this earth? There are other people who who claim this earth as being theirs, and you know, I'm talking about organisms here, you know, in this world
that have been living here for millions of years. They have just as much right to partake and experience as we are, and we can't stop by closing one species out or whatever.
Mm, yeah.
Well, you know, this is a playground. It's, you know, it's like Star Trek, where they all need a shore leave, where they pick a planet and whatever they can imagine will be played out, you know, in some kind of a role. I mean, that's basically what Earth is all about. And sometimes we forget, and we get carried away. But understand, doctors, you know, have their jobs. Cops have their jobs. I have my job. You have your job. And that's what makes the world go round. And the problem is that sometimes I take life too serious, and I have to sit back and I have to laugh because, you know, it's only a wink of an eye we're experiencing this. And part of this experience is only part of the experience on a three-dimensional realms of reality. And there are other realms outside this box that is outside this universe, you know, beyond the galaxy, you know, this universe. So that is part of the reality that we could be experiencing after 2012.
And I certainly look forward to that. And on that note, we really need to close the show. We've come to the end of our time. We've run over a bit.
But we're
great.
Thank you so much for joining us tonight, and it's been fun.
It's an interesting discussion.
Yeah,
I enjoyed it.
Yes.
And George, it's always a pleasure. Thanks, and
take care.
Yeah,
I'll catch you the next time, and Steve, God bless you, my friend.
Thanks.
You too.
And Lila, Leo, God bless you.
Yeah, you too, Georgie. See you tomorrow. Talk to you soon.
Good night now.
Bye-bye. Good night.
Peace and oneness.
Yeah, you too, Steve. Thanks.
Good night.